It's a wonderful experience, especially because one learns how limited notation really is. You know, the composer tries his very best to find a way to notate the musical ideas he or she has so that we musicians can translate them into our instruments, our sounds. And with music by Beethoven, Mozart, Brahms, we think we understand the notation, but we really often do have questions, and we can't ask them of Brahms or Beethoven. But I can ask Laurie Anderson, or I can ask a living composer who I'm working with if this notation, how I can best interpret it. And by using these answers, I then sometimes know how to deal with questions I would have asked Beethoven.
Oh, yes. how is it to collaborate with Laurie Anderson?
Laurie and I have worked together nearly 50 years. I met her in California in the late 70s at the Cabrillo Music Festival when I was music director. And we did the project that's now turned into being Amelia. It was originally called Songs for Amelia Earhart. That was for a series of concerts I did at Carnegie Hall with the American Composers Orchestra in 2000. And this piece has gone through several forms, but I ended up doing a reorchestration of her work for chamber-sized string orchestra, and that's what we're performing tonight.
During the performance of the second part of the concert, which will come after the interval, Laurie Anderson improvises with some other musicians. How do you organize that with a symphonic orchestra?
Well, that's my job, of course, is to be aware of when these free moments and elements come and to make sure that when we as an orchestra then continue to play, that the musicians are comfortable and know where we are. But they have an innate sense of what's going on, so it's not, with musicians of this quality, it's not difficult to organize.
Oh yes, because Laurie Anderson said wanting to improvise with a symphonic orchestra has much of an artistic suicide.
Well, it might be a slight exaggeration, and I think it depends really on the attitude of the musicians. With the Philharmonic Orchestra that I have for this concert, they're wonderfully disposed to what we're doing, so it's been a great pleasure.
Mm-hmm. You're a soloist as well. You're mentioned as a soloist for the second part.
Well, there's a piano work that has been extended, and I play the original piano piece at the beginning of the second part of the concert.
Mm-hmm. How is it to collaborate with Brussels Philharmonic?
It's my first experience with them, and I look forward to the next one. It's been really very, very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And in this wonderful hall, yeah, you were here before?
I've been here some years ago, and I enjoyed the experience then, and I'm delighted to be back.
It will be a surprise to me. I will never hear it before the day it's played. We have also four musicians doing improvisation and some talking. And we're only going to put them together in the dress rehearsal. This is really experimental. I'll tell you, this is risky. I mean, both sound really beautiful, but you never know when you put them together what will happen. So it will be a kind of on-the-spot alchemy that will happen, I think. You know, because musicians, you know, communicate with each other and along some other frequencies, and I think what we rehearse as improvisers will be very influenced by what the orchestra does, you know, because we're making really loud stuff in the improvising world, and then suddenly with a quiet, moody orchestra, we're going to probably play it differently. This piece is it's a kind of collage, really. It's mixed with a couple of piano pieces and a violin piece, now rearranged, arranged for orchestra by Stefan Collin, and who's from here. And then also some pieces for a quartet that I wrote called Landfall. And mm-hmm. So those pieces kind of migrate in like little fragments of songs that appear, and then they just make this downpour. When I go to a concert, I go to feel lost, to, you know, not to know, what does this mean? No, I prefer to just go, oh, that's an interesting sound. Oh, that's an interesting idea. I don't need to know what it's about, what it means. I don't need to know that. I just like to experience. I mean, because as artists, if we really just were trying to create meaning, we would write essays about it. We wouldn't make all these notes. We wouldn't make all those colors. We wouldn't make all those shapes. You know, so they have a certain kind of meaning in them, but you can't put them into words so easily, you know? And you see something that's just beautiful, it's silly to put it into words, because it's already its own thing.
On June 1st, 1937, Amelia Earhart took off from Miami Airport. Her plan was to fly around the world counterclockwise, 1,000 miles a day, and to become the first woman to circumnavigate the Earth. Her plane was a small Lockheed Electra. She flew nonstop for 32 days, with only short breaks for fuel and sleep. Her navigator, Fred Noonan, sitting in the back. On July 2nd, she took off across the Pacific on the last leg of her journey, headed for Howland Island. She began broadcasting an SOS on her radio, but she was on the wrong frequency. And she lost contact with the Coast Guard cutter assigned to guide her in. She couldn't hear them, but they could hear her. An hour later, she vanished. Her plane was never found. It was the sound of the motor I remember the most. Takeoff. June 1st, 1937. Miami Municipal Airport. The idea? To fly from California. Back to California. By the longest route possible. To circle the world from east to west. I see something shining. North-northwest. Thank you. waves of air. Feel the wind blow. Waves of water, water far below. Waves of air. Feel the wind blow. Waves of water. Lift me up. Lift me up. Wind direction. I can see the way the wind is blowing from the way the smoke is rising from the fires. The way the clothes are swinging on the lines. The shadow of my plane. June 7th, Brazil, wet grass, takeoff was in total darkness, then pitch black ocean, the South Atlantic, navigator asleep, sea. Dirty gray. Static on the radio. We drop. We're dropping down. Shredding the clouds. The sky has many avenues and streets. But you just have to know how to find them. streets of air, air streets. Crossing the equator, brilliant sun, dropping down through the shining white valleys of clouds, dropping down through the shining white valleys of clouds. Sky red, then gold, then black again. Sky red, then gold, then black again. Then black again. Very hot air can make for the worst flying conditions. June 8th, Dakar. Motor stalls, cuts out. Instruments quiver. All the meters burning up. Everything so hot, so hot. I am hungry. I am hot. Sand, a caravan. Waves of sand and heat. Sand, another caravan. I am hungry. I am hungry. Concern. Just in case the engines fail and we fall into the Arabian desert. I myself possess a letter which I myself cannot read. It is addressed to Arab tribesmen, and it explains how and why a woman pilot might drop down from the sky onto their land. And explains what to do if she did drop down, and who to call. Have walking shoes. Have maps. Have extra water. June 17th. Karachi. Black eagles at 500 feet. Gray skies. Gray skies. Land at Dum Dum Airport, Calcutta. Streets are white. White bulls are walking everywhere. Past the many mouths of the Ganges and the Brahmaputra rivers, the Brahmaputra rivers. Small figures trailing in the water look up as we pass. Some wave their hats. Hello, hello, hello. Goodbye. Of the Ganges and the Brahmaputra rivers. Boats below are fishing for pearls, fishing for pearls, fishing for pearls. But a knife. Shoots home today. Shouldn't need them anymore. Nah, shouldn't need them anymore. Not over the open ocean. Not over the open ocean. Not over the open ocean. Daredevil pilots, to loop to loops, up in the sky. And I knew then that I wanted to fly. Across the dark lawn, when I was a kid, top speed into the darkness, nothing above me, nothing below me, I am running, I'm free. Turn off the headlights. Nothing below me, nothing above me. I'm flying. I'm free. Skimming the water, riding the airwaves, high diving. Through the sky, I always knew I wanted to fly. June 19th, Bangkok. Jungle swallows everything. Green, green, green everywhere. In New Guinea, bought a knife. 2 shillings stopped in a village. Love a mountain's heat. Glad I did. The word for woman here is Mary. Imagine a whole town of Marys. A whole country of Marys. Tommy, Tommy, left his Burma girl lazy at the sea. Can't get this song out of my mind. It plays all day and all night. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play. Who wrote that? Kipling? No. Where was I? Where am I? I don't know. There is something shining. North, northeast. It is my plane. Her skin so smooth. She shines like an English biscuit. June 30th, New Guinea. Fred, unable to set his chronometers, stop. Personal unfitness, stop. Wind, blowing the wrong way, stop. Looking bad for arrival in Oakland, July 4th, stop. Did you know that in New Guinea, the land is nothing but silt held together by tangled vines? Sometimes pieces break off and float like rafts out to sea. Sometimes animals get trapped on them. July 1st, 1937. Tonight, I'm looking westward over the Pacific. The Electra is ready to take her heartless flight and longest of the trip, 2,500 miles across the open ocean. Parachutes? Gone. Visibility? None. Wind blowing the wrong way. Thank you. 29 days of flight, they landed in New Guinea. The remaining 7,000 miles would all be done over the Pacific. On her last takeoff, Earhart was headed for Howland Island, in the middle of the Pacific. The Coast Guard cutter, Itasca, posted near the island, was assigned to guide her in. Takeoff was at dawn. Earhart has a sure chance of me of finding the island at about 50-50. As she flew towards the island, she was broadcasting, but she was on the wrong frequency. And the closer she got, the fainter her voice became. To make a sharper signal, she began a series of loud whistles. But the mid-Pacific was full of high-frequency radio code. And her signals were lost. Zero, 0740. Electra calling Itasca. We must be on you, but cannot see you. Itasca to Electra. Do not hear you. Repeats. 2742. Gas is low. No radio. We are flying at an altitude of 1,000 feet. Itasca to Electra. Do not hear you on 6210. Do not hear you on 6210. Do not hear you on 6210. Repeat. Airbag to Elisa. We are running out of fuel. We must be near you, but cannot see you. Earhart to Itasca. We'll whistle into microphone. We are running a line north and south. Cannot see you. Itasca to Electra. Cannot hear you. Repeat. Earhart to Itasca. Cannot see you, cannot hear you. Cannot hear you, repeat. Repeat. Cannot hear you. Earhart to Itasca. Cannot see you. Itasca to Earhart. Cannot hear you. Cannot hear you. Repeat. Repeat. Cannot hear you. Repeat. Cannot see you. Repeat. Like a lucky dime. A shadow in the water was the sound of the motor. I remember the most. It's a large room, full of people, all kinds. And they'd all arrived at the same building, at more or less the same time. And they were all afraid. And they were all asking themselves, the same question. What is behind that curtain? This is the time. And this is the record of the time.
Thank you.
He said, what does it remind you of? She said, the sound of rain. She said, the sound of rain. The sound. Thank you. I dreamed I was a dog in a dog show. And my father came to the dog show. And he said, "That's a really good dog. I like that dog." When my father died, we put him in the ground. When my father died, it was like a whole library had burned down. Every last book. Every single one. Gone.
Thank you.
but her days are to wake us up, to put between the endless nights what are nights. Remember what you said. I remember the rain. I remember the rain. So when you see a man who's broken, pick him up and carry him. And when you see a woman who's broken, put her all into your arms. 'Cause we don't know where we come from. We don't know what we are. So this is the time. This is the record of the time.